This is the American Dream, Dustin Rhodes, son of a plumber, daddy, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into a very special Shining Star episode of the BCP. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome in live from the motherland in beautiful Puerto Rico. He is the current reigning and defending ECPW light heavyweight champion, the Shining Star himself, Mr. Ray Kalitri. Applause track. Ray, welcome in. Thanks for calling from Puerto Rico, bro.
Of course. Good morning to you, and good morning to everyone who's out there listening. I just want to give you a quick view of where I'm at. Look at that.
I'm living the dream. The palm trees, the beautiful weather. It's all cloudy and rainy up here in Jersey. Smarter than the rest of us, man. Living the dream.
There you go.
But dude, I got to ask you right off the bat. You know, we had a nice conversation last night. You know, you're chilling by the pool. You're hanging with your girl. Like, this guy is my hero right now, man. Tell it what it means to you to be, you know, in Puerto Rico. I know it means so much to you, man.
You know, it means so much to me because I'm actually born in Utuado, Puerto Rico. So most people, they predominantly only know San Juan. So if you're looking at San Juan on a map, if you head out west a little bit, about an hour and a half, I'm from like the mountains and the countries and all that stuff. And for me to be here, not only visiting where I came from, but also wrestling, right? Being part of history and all the great champions and the Pedro Morales of the world and the Carlito Colons of the world. And, you know, Abdullah the Butcher, and go on and on and on. For me to just be part of it, and then not only that, but for me to have my dad to come out and support. Because I was wrestling in RCW, so that's about half an hour away from San Juan. So now, if you're talking about Utuado from where I'm from, that's a 2-hour hike, and my dad came down to watch me wrestle, and that was super special to me because, you know, I don't get to see him often because I do live in the States and he does live over here. So to me, it was an awesome feeling, indescribable. Just to wrestle, you know, where I came from. So that was pretty cool.
That's really cool. So he's down there in Puerto Rico, man. I got to ask you this because, you know, we talk to everybody. Sometimes like the families, like they don't get it. You know what I mean? Like has your dad always been like supportive of the wrestling thing, or did it kind of take a while, or is he into it?
So this is the thing. He's not really into wrestling, but he's into wrestling because of me, absolutely awesome. And then he's all like on his Facebook and he's, you know, posting up the pictures with me and him, and he's like, I'm so proud of my son and all this other stuff, which is pretty, you know, pretty cool. And then after he posts on Facebook, you know, the rest of my family who's out here, like my aunts and uncles and cousins, everyone starts chiming in like, oh my God, he looks so nice. Oh my God, this, oh my God, that, I can't believe it. So we said congratulations and everything else in between. So that's super, super special and super cool.
That's awesome, man. And you're a family guy. Yep. And this is amazing. Just this ambiance right now. I hear the birds chirping.
No other guest has ever given you that. Look at that view. No other guest.
No, they haven't, man. Look at that. He's killing it just in terms of the interview right now and the ambiance, man. I love it. I'm super jealous. You know, obviously Puerto Rico years ago, it was like kind of ravaged from that hurricane. So I haven't been.
2017.
Yeah, I had family go down and kind of, you know, check in on everything, you know, help, like, you know, the Habitat for Humanity, all that stuff. So that's really
cool. Oh, that's pretty cool. Thank you.
Yeah, man, of course, dude. And I got to get down there. Everyone's telling me, oh, you got to go get down there. So one day I will, man. But it looks.
Whenever you are here, you let me know. And, you know, if I'll come with you. And if not, I'll tell my family. They'll take care of you. And it'll be a good time.
Don't tease me with a good time, first of all. If I'm rolling with you, dude, I was talking on the phone with you last night. I'm like, I love this guy. This guy's my hero, man. But you do talk about your dad. You talk about family. I wanted to bring this up, man, because in your Facebook description and our guy, Bill Botkin, editor-in-chief, popbreak.com, shameless promo, he says the best thing that he is in life is being a girl dad. And I believe you're a girl dad as well, man. Tell us what that means to you, man.
I'll tell you what. Before my little girl was around, I was a wild boy.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah.
I was a wild boy running around, you know, without a care in the world. And when she was born, she actually, I say this story a lot. This is more of a personal thing, which thank you for bringing it up. Most people don't. She centralized me, and she's the one who she brought peace into my life, as crazy as that sounds. And she helped me slow down. And then just being around her, of course, you know, she's a young lady now. She's 12 years old. Just seeing her growth as, you know, from a baby into a young woman. And every time that I'm with her, she tells me, slow down. Like, hey, let's do this. Like, I'll have a million and one things to do. And she'll just be like, hey, Dad, I want ice cream. And I'm like, no, not right now. And then I'll just look at her and I'm like, you know what? I'll put everything else to the side. All right, let's go get ice cream and everything else. So it's super cool. I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. But I just love it. I love it.
That's awesome, man. And I think to me, like, that's like my favorite thing in wrestling is just like you obviously like family first and then wrestling second and all that kind of stuff. Yep. But I love seeing the families come out to the shows. Like my favorite thing is like the daddy daughter dates, the father and son, the families coming out, man. You always have like a, you know, heel face, whatever it is, whatever role you're in, man. You always have a really good connection with the fans. In my mind, you have a great connection with the fans, man. What does that mean to you? Just kind of having a connection with the fans, because not a lot of people have, not everyone has that. You know what I mean?
Right. So this is the thing. Most people prefer like heel or face, and I work better this way, I work better that way. But you got to be honest with yourself. And if one of the bigger companies call you and they'll tell you, hey, Bob, I want you to be face. No, but I've been heel this whole time. You're going to tell them no? Come on, be for real. And not only that, I consider myself a hybrid wrestler in this aspect that I can do both. And you can entertain both ways, and you could still be able to draw the fans in and have them either clap you on, or you'll say something silly like, oh, did I win? No, you didn't win. What you mean? I didn't win? You know, it's the little nuances that goes a long way. I love working both just because it keeps me versatile as far as creative thinking and going forward. And I know most people be like, oh no, you got to like work one certain way. And listen, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. Everyone's entitled to whatever they like. Me personally, I don't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. Just give me a ring and an opponent, and I'll make the best out of it as much as I possibly can.
I love it, man. I love that attention to detail, man, because you know, that's why I wanted to see you live before I had you on the show. Like, I always like to see people live, and you killed it at Titan, obviously, throwing the keys to David Adams. I was dying. You know, go park the car, kid. I was dying, but let's talk about the ride, man. You got a sweet ride. You came rolling up. David Adams wanted an interview. Go park the car, kid, man. Tell us about the Maserati, man. It's beautiful, man. It's beautiful.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. This is a question I usually never get because that delves into my personal life, which is fine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
No. It doesn't matter. No worries. I don't care. So this is a funny thing. I reach out to Billy, right? And I'm like, hey, Billy, make sure you got VIP parking for me because I'm bringing out the Mazzy. He goes, yeah, right. And I'm pulling up in my Rolls Royce. I said, oh, you're not a believer. Okay, no problem. So, you know, when I pull up to the venue on the Mazzy, it's like literally all eyes on me, right? Yeah. Everyone who was in the parking lot. And this is my first time at Titans, right? So everyone's like, who the heck is this guy coming out? And I come out and everyone's like, because, you know, that's the effect that you get when you're driving a very nice car. And then not only that, I'm right now, it's just because I'm on vacation right now. This is why you see me like this dressed down. But usually I'm suited up everywhere I go. And then, you know, they see this guy coming out in a suit, which predominantly 99.9% of the wrestlers do not dress that part, which is fine. Everyone's entitled to do whatever they want. But that is me. That is my persona. That is my character. That is who I am. Yeah. So it was just crazy because I'm pretty sure Billy saw it. He goes, I'm pretty sure he saw it. He has to have to tell himself, like, oh man, Ray's around here somewhere.
Yeah, that's amazing. And let's touch on that, man. You know, sure. Hashtag, we always say hashtag wrestling fashion, man. I'm sure you're gonna win 1 week. We always do our wrestling fashion every week, but seriously, like, you come in, like, Vicky always kills me because, you know, I'll wear like the suit jacket and I'll rep like an indie talent on a t-shirt. Right? And she's like, what are you doing wearing a t-shirt with a jacket? So she always kills me for that. But you come rolling in nice. You know, you got the tie looking suave, looking great as ever, man. And, you know, sometimes in the locker room, like you said, like, not everyone gets it. And in my mind, it's like, you do you. And more importantly, like, you dress for the job you want, man, because You come rolling in super professional, man. Is that kind of your philosophy? Like, dress for the job you want kind of a thing?
Right. And not only that, if you put me in a locker room with 100 other wrestlers, I'm the one that's going to stand out.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is. You know, one of the guys, when I went to Titans, he sees me. He goes, "You sure you're in the right place?"
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'm sure I'm in the right place. And then when I came out here in Caguas Saturday when we had the show, when I pull up again, everyone's like, "Who the heck is this guy? Like, why is he coming over here?" You know, because I'm pulling up, and again, everyone, and that's fine. Once again, I'm gonna reiterate that before people start getting on me about it and all this other stuff. Everyone's in t-shirt and jeans and hat and sneakers, and which is fine, man. That's how you're comfortable, sure. But that's me, and that's the swag that I bring, and that's my poppy freshness into the locker room and around everyone that's around me, you know.
I think it also gives you like of an aura, just like of an initial impression. Like obviously, I follow everyone, but someone seeing you or working with you the first time, it gives you that impression, like, this guy's a big deal, man. And that's another reason I wanted to see you live and, you know, get all the details, man. And I want to ask you this, like going into Titan. And again, we're not wearing just like a Titan hat, man. You know, you're everywhere. You're doing all this stuff, man. Obviously, sure. I'm getting my start on commentary in Titan and it's going great. I'm very appreciative to them. But you had that fatal four-way match, man. It was great. And it's like you were saying after the match, I saw you just kind of, oh, like, wait, is it over? Like, you know, you got messed up. And now I pay attention to things, man. And what is kind of the goal as far as just Titan is concerned? Because you're no stranger to having gold, you know, over the shoulder, around the waist. Is it to get that middleweight championship from Nikos? Maybe challenge Steve Monster Mac one day. Is it about the gold? Is it about having good competition? Like, what are your goals as far as Titan's concerned?
Me, I'm a combination of everything. I want to help the company improve. I want to help young talent coming in, whatever the case may be. But also at the same time, because wrestling is very egocentric, right? And I'm sure you know this because you've been around locker rooms. Sure. I also do want the championships and I do want the golds and I do want the accolades. But I understand that comes with time because it's a trust that a promoter has to put on you of, hey, this is mine. This has my name on it. You're going to represent X company, make sure that you represent us to the best of your ability. So eventually, I'm pretty sure that Billy and all those guys over there in the front office, I'm pretty sure they're going to see the value in me. Because again, just this year alone, and this is not me just to brag or whatever people want to say, but I've been in wrestling trips. I've been in Colombia, Mexico, and Puerto Rico, and we're only in June, you know? And we have another big event coming up in September in Mexico pretty soon. I don't want to give out the date cause I'm not too sure cause they're bouncing around two different dates, but it's stuff that like when I was, are you just a Titan podcast or you're just an overall podcast?
Oh, I'm everywhere. And that's the thing. Okay. Like it's very important to me. Cause you know, I'm just getting my start with Titan, very appreciative, but at the end of the day, you know, we're all independent contractors. We're all just trying to wrestle all over the place, man. So all about it.
Okay. Please. Okay. So for example, when I was in Mexico, I came out, I was a double champ at the time. I was ECWA's legacy champion and I was ECPW's light heavyweight champion. So when I came out, and the stuff that I did out there, it came out on local Mexican TV. And that's a big deal. Like, I'm in Mexico City, and I have friends in Cancun, and they're sending me the video feed off their TV. And that's just so surreal and wild to me. And meanwhile, I come out with both belts. And what are people going to look up? They're going to look up ECWA, ECPW. So I'm starting to get that little bit of international recognition. That's why after my trip in March, I started calling myself the International Shining Star. Just because, you know, it started to stick. But that, again, and I apologize because I tend to veer off different stories off of one question.
This is great, man.
Yeah. And I could just yap on for hours. But the goal is to just, like, help build the company more than what it is right now to the early success that they have. Help out the younger guys if they need help and be a part of it in any shape and way that I possibly can. But at the same time, me getting my personal career wrestling goals intact as well, you know?
Absolutely, man. And now I have that for commentary. I have my like commentary notebook, I have my notes on every the International Shining Star. So we got that, man. And I did want to ask you this, you know, obviously I think you said Colombia as well, Mexico, yep. Puerto Rico, obviously yep. the States, you've wrestled all over. Yep. Do you feel in my mind, that's like, whoa, in my mind, do you feel that gives you somewhat of an advantage as far as experience. Because a lot of people we talk to, like, what are your goals? Where do you want to go? Get signed. A lot of people just say they want to travel the world and wrestle. Like, you've already kind of done that. Do you feel that gives you a little bit of an edge?
So the thing is that, and this is I have this conversation with my friends, because I have a close knit of friends that I roll with, especially in the wrestling community. That we're always talking about it, right? So it's no secret that if you want to travel to wrestle in different places, 9 out of 10 people aren't going to compensate you for it. So it's on you. It's pretty much on you, because what people need to understand, or talent needs to understand, that, okay, you're a big deal in the Northeast region of wrestling or whatever. But when you go out West California, no one knows you. When you go out to Mexico, no one knows you. So how do you expect for people to pay for you to travel the world if no one really knows you, if you're not taking the first effort and the initiation into building your foundation of who you are as a performer and in your wrestling career? So it holds a lot of people back, and I understand. But me, I just do it because it's what I love to do, especially traveling to different countries and different states and stuff like that. And I like learning from everyone else in between. But also at the same time, I'm like, okay, I'm wrestling one day out of 4 days. Okay, so let me just enjoy all of this, you know?
Makes sense.
And then Saturday is all about business, which is what we did. But at the same time, I get to soak in the sun and soak in the scenery and the food and the culture and the people. And you just learn as you go. And I know it has nothing to do with what you just told me or asked me, but that is just...
That's great. No.
Yeah. To me, does it give me an advantage? A little bit, yes, because now when you go to companies, when you go to a country, you're like, hey, I've been to, you know, Colombia, Mexico, Puerto Rico, and this is the place the rest of them done things for. So now they're going to pick me over a guy who's only been, over a person, I should say, who's only been in that Northeast region that we were just talking about, you know? So for me, it gives me a slight advantage, and I just take it as it comes, you know?
I would say so, man, because you get all these different styles, and I know a lot of people in the Northeast are growing and continuing to grow. They want to level up, like we always say here, man, hashtag next level. But I did want to ask you this, man, and let's be real. You can give me the politically correct answer like a lot of people do on this one. We're seeing a lot of our friends, man, we've had on the show a year ago, 2 years ago, popping up on AEW Dark, man. There's no question their eyes are on the Northeast. Like a lot of, you know, like Recon was just there. Waves and Curls. We've seen Lady Cross.
Yep.
Casey Navarro. The list goes on and on and on, man. Is that something that you're savvy to, that you're aware of, that, you know, like Cody, TK, whoever they are, they're reaching out to these local talents. Are you aware of this, and moving forward, would that be a goal of yours to work with the likes of a Cody Rhodes or an AEW, or is it to work for other companies? Is it to continue to travel the world? Is it to go to Japan? Is it to open a school? We've heard all the answers, man. Like what's the big goal moving forward?
So this is the thing, right? I mean, as a talent and as a wrestler, as a performer, manager, referee, whatever the case is, you'd be silly to say that you don't want to work for one of the bigger companies. That'll be silly, because if you're playing basketball, your goal is to be in the NBA. If you're playing football, your goal is to be in the NFL. Right?
I like that.
Right. So this is the thing with me, and this is another conversation that I have with my friends all the time. And I am more on the coin of, if it comes my way, it comes my way. Great. I am doing the best I possibly can. And if one of the bigger companies see value in what I'm doing, they'll bring me in. Great. The reason why I tell you that is because this is meant to be funny, right? Because if you're not enjoying yourself, you're going to be so miserable. You're not going to want to work anymore. You're not going to want to travel. You're going to be upset because you're not getting paid for this. You're going to be upset because you're working this person, so on and so on and so on. And then on top of that, when you're not having fun, and when you see your fellow peers and people that you've worked with, I know this personally because I know some people who they've experienced this. They'll be like, oh, how come he got a call and I didn't get a call?
You
know what I'm saying? And I never want to be that guy, because I know that once I start being that guy, I stop having fun. And right now, dude, I've been in Colombia, Mexico, and Puerto Rico in the last 6 months. And it's all good to me, and it's all experience. And I'm meeting all these people, all these promoters, all these fans from all over the world. People are following me on social media. People are like, oh, man, you know, I was at the beach yesterday, right? And as I'm approaching the guy, I was going to get like this coconut water thing, right? And yeah. he looks at me up and down. He goes, "You look like you're somebody." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Just the way you're walking, just the way you're like, you know, your features." I'm like, "Oh, well, I wrestle and stuff like that." He goes, "Oh, for real?" So we started having a conversation out of nowhere, just because of the way I'm carrying myself as I'm approaching this guy, and that stuff that I love. And again, because if you're not having fun because you're stuck in New York City or New Jersey and you're not getting that call, you're not having fun. And that's the worst part that you could do, is be a part of this and not have fun.
Dude, I love that answer. Like, just your philosophy there, like the NBA, and it's like you want to get to the big leagues and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, yeah, it's good to have a little bit of a chip on your shoulder, man. The only chip I usually have on my shoulder is a Dorito, but I digress. but yeah, man, like, to me, it's about dreams coming true. Like when I saw Casey or whoever on Dark or on TV or on Dynamite, like, we were doing a standing ovation in our living room, because to me, it's like all awesome. You guys work so hard. And this can actually happen. Like, it's very possible. Yeah.
It's feasible.
It is, man. And there's been opportunity through this pandemic, this terrible pandemic that we're all going through. Now the world's starting to get on track, man. What was it kind of like for you, you know, when everything kind of came to a halt, everything kind of stopped, man? Because I know you like to travel, you like to wrestle and all that. I know a lot of wrestlers were trying to find a way to work out. Their bodies would get kind of calcified. Like, you know, they would have to make like home gyms and stuff. Like, how were you able to adjust in that downtime, and what did it mean to you to kind of get back into the ring in front of people again?
The only thing that I told myself is, okay, this is a great opportunity to further my character, right? Keep building on what I'm doing. Keep learning from the guys that I mirror my character from, which is the Gino Hernandez, the Ric Flairs, Nick Bockwinkel. You know, those are my guys. So when you see me, you see little bits and pieces of those guys in me and what I'm doing. So I was studying a lot more. I ended up building a gym in my basement, like a legit, like I ended up spending a lot of money. And I did it from head, you know, from top to bottom. I did everything brand new, 'cause I had the time, I had nothing else to do.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. And I got to do a lot of self-reflection and, you know, a bunch of other stuff, which was pretty cool. But the pandemic hit me hard, just like everyone else, because, you know, we're all trying to figure it out. What are we going to do? So here I am with a notebook writing down promo ideas and freaking catchphrases. And all right, well, this is where I want to go and this is what I want to do. So it made me a little bit more organized as far as to start polishing up my work a little bit, because I know I'm not perfect. You know, you can have your little nuances here, little nuances there. But when you have a chance to sit down and really look at yourself as a talent, and you're like, okay, let's be realistic, right? I'm this tall. I'm not gonna power bomb somebody, right?
Okay.
Well, let's polish what we know. Let's polish what we love to do. So that's a lot of what I did in the pandemic.
Yeah, man. Well, you look great. The gear looks great. You know, again, I wanted to see you live, man. You did great in that Fatal 4-Way. You know, I want to see you in more one-on-one matches, live and in person, obviously, from my end. And you did mention Ric Flair. We always, not to be cliche, but we always do like to rewind a little bit. How did you get your start in the business, like, from the get-go? Was it being a fan? Did you have family that was into it? Do you have family that are in the business? Like, how did this wrestling become a part of your life?
So it's funny that you say that, because you know how everyone says, oh, I'm second generation, I'm third generation, and all this other stuff, right? I say to everybody, I'm first generation. Oh, but that doesn't count. Of course it counts. It counts in my head. What are you talking about? Why not? And if I believe it, everyone else is going to believe it. So why not, right? So the match that hooked me into wrestling was Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, WrestleMania 12, Iron Man match. That's the match that absolutely hooked me, and hook, line, and sinker. Everything was there, right? So as I was getting older, I was like, I love wrestling so much, I could give it a try. Why not? Right. So then one time I decided to, oh, there goes the pool guy. One time I decided to look up wrestling schools. At the time it was, I believe 2007. And one of them popped up, and it was in West Paterson, New Jersey, which was Camp IWF, ran by Kevin Knight. And that is where your Matt Bennett came from, which is referee in WWE, Falava. Danny Danilo, which is referee from NXT, Fred Ross, or Darren Young, as people may know him. He's been on NXT. He's in New Japan right now, ROH. You know, I came from that group. The Justin Carinos of the world, which he formed the New Heavenly Bodies with him and his brother, Mark Carino. So I came from that world, but then I sort of stepped away from wrestling because, again, I became a dad, right? This goes, this ties back into the story from we were talking about earlier. So I ended up becoming a dad. So I was like, okay, so at the time I didn't know what I know now. Wish I did know what I know now, I would have kept going because it probably would have led me down a different path, right?
Yeah.
But then again, if I took that route, I wouldn't be talking to you right now, right? Things might be a little different. Yeah. So I'm very big on the universe having a certain cause and effect on why things happen. So that's when I started, and then I stopped, and then I started again. And if you look at my body of work and how I wrestle, I carry myself and everything else in between, I've only been wrestling a year. Because I started again in November of 18. Yeah, November 18. And November 19 made a year. And then 2020, we had a whole pandemic, so no one wrestled.
It's crazy, man. Well, I mean, for that short amount of time, you're already killing it. As the pool guy goes I'm like, this would be a great angle if he just sneaks up. I'm just like, is he working something in here? Like, what's going on? It's wrestling, man. It went through my head. Just like, you know, pulls off the hat. It's one of your rivals following you down to Puerto Rico. But I did want to ask you this. AJ Pan, you got to work with him, obviously, a little bit. Talk about what it's like working with AJ and the Pan Gregation, if I'm saying that correctly.
Gregation. All right.
So I originally came in as the Pan Corp Agency, the PCA, right? Yeah, he's actually responsible. Him and Joey Ace are responsible for bringing me into the ECWA. Okay. Which is where I had some early success, like we were talking earlier. And man, that man is brilliant behind the scenes, and he's willing to help anybody and everyone. And he's willing to listen to you, but he's also going to tell you, no, that's not going to work. Try this instead, right?
Yeah.
So he's one of those vets that he's been around a long time. He knows a lot of people. A lot of people have started with him. And for some reason, I don't know why. Obviously, I know why, because he's talented behind the scenes, right? Anyone who gets associated with him, they just skyrocket to the moon.
Yeah.
There's nothing more that I could possibly say about that. It's just, he's really good, man. He's really good.
Oh, dude. And no doubt in my mind, you know, he's killing it, and you're going to keep killing it, you know, with him as well. And really nice guy. I got to talk to him a little bit, man. So that's what it's all about. I did want to ask you this one. Who in the indies would you like to face and work with that you haven't? And then also on the big stage, you know, you mentioned Brett, you mentioned Sean, who would be like the dream, you know, just have a little fun with it. The dream opponent, it could be a current active wrestler. It could be a legend, Hall of Famer. What would be the dream match on the indies and the dream match on TV?
So we'll start with the TV one. To me, Jericho is the all time.
Oh yeah,
that is the pinnacle. I don't, you know, everyone has their biased opinion of The Rock and Undertaker and Stone Cold Steve Austin, but from a work perspective, this guy's resume is nothing to mess with. This guy's been everywhere. He's been around a long, long time. He's carried, you know, he's been carrying AEW on his back for 2 years or whatever it's been.
Yeah.
And when he put his name on there, it's like, he's, to me, he's the GOAT, man. And maybe it's because I can relate to him because we're sort of like the same build. So maybe that usually appeals me more to that certain wrestler, because even though like a Kevin Nash is great, right? Because he's awesome and stuff. But again, I'm not going to do a powerbomb. So I can't really gravitate towards him as a talent. I gravitate more, you know, towards the Jerichos of the world.
So to me, it would be Jericho. And right great now, and
right now in the indies,
because right now, it's just so hard because
everyone's so good.
Yeah.
But for example, right now, I would like to wrestle anyone in the PWI top 500, whoever that is.
Great answer. Yeah.
Anyone in the PWI top 500, because those guys have been recognized as top talent, right?
Yeah.
So, for example, June 18th. No, I'm lying to you. June 5th. I'm sorry. June 18th is my ECPW show. June 5th, when I come back home, I got to wrestle my best friend, my brother, Joey Ace.
Oh,
he's in that list. He's number 434 on the top 500, right? So that's happening. I would love to wrestle a Darius Carter. He's 424.
We saw him on Saturday, man. Yeah, he is. He is one evil dude, man.
That guy is very undervalued, very undervalued, and
I agree.
Overlooked for whatever the case may be. But hopefully, he gets his due time coming up. But you know, guys like that, anyone in the top 500 that I can, they can put me to work with. You know, bring it. Anyone from the Samoan dynasties, or like all those just people who know how to work. You know, people who know how to tell a story. Give me a Dan Moff. Give me a Steve Mack. Give me anybody. You know, I work with anybody. It doesn't matter.
Steve, hey guys, you heard it here. Type Billy Charles. We heard it. He said Monster Mac. I'm just putting it out there, man. But we'll see what we could do here. But obviously, talk about that PWI 500. No doubt in my mind, you'll be on that list very, very soon, man.
I've been trying. I'm doing the best I can out here, so those guys could, like, you know, shine the light a little bit on me, and you know, hey, I'm here, guys, and hopefully it gets into the right ears, and you know, hopefully I'm in there.
Well, you're doing the right thing. You're stealing the shows. You look great in the ring and outside of the ring. You're traveling the world. You're all over the place, man. That's what it's all about, man. And I just want to ask you a fun fan question. We love to ask everyone this question. Sure. It's our favorite question. Say, hypothetically, you do get that WrestleMania moment. If you do work for that company, there's no doubt in my mind that you will. You're walking down, you know, the fans are back. You're walking down the stage, down the aisle. What band or artist is playing you down to the ring?
Oh,
you have like a favorite group you like to listen to, or something that gets you hyped, or like who would play? Yeah, it could be anybody.
So again, this is gonna be a biased opinion just because this is me, right?
Yeah, keep it real.
My nephew is the one who created my current soundtrack.
That's so cool, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, like he made the beat for me, and he, you know, he got on the song to rap and stuff like that, and to me, it's super catchy, and I love it. And I've supported him since day one, and he's supported me since day one. Which is, actually, I brought him up to an ECWA show so he could sing the song for me as I'm coming out.
Oh, yeah. Wow! And, is there video of that somewhere?
Yeah, there's video. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
There's videos and everything. And it was pretty cool. It was like a cool experience for him because he's a big wrestling fan, but he's never been behind the scenes. And actually, it's in my documentary on YouTube. So if you look it up, my name on YouTube. And then you'll see like the bits and pieces of the backstage stuff. But to me, okay, I'm not too much more so a big fan of like the bigger names and stuff like that, because I like to be like with the people who started me at first. So if I can have the opportunity, I would absolutely 100% give it to my nephew.
That's amazing answer, because I've come from the local music scene, like Asbury Park, New Jersey area. So and there's a lot of parallels between the worlds of local music and indie wrestling. Like, it's crazy. I'm getting my start in the business with the podcast, and then I got to play, and I will be playing Corvus out to the ring on the drums coming up. So I'm excited for that. So that's cool.
Oh, that's dope. Yeah.
Actually, yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. But like, that's so cool that your nephew gets to do that, man. Cause I know what it's like. And that was one of my first times behind the curtain. I'm setting up the drums. And I was like, are you playing me out? Are you playing? I was like, I will play everybody out. That's fine. Right? And it was just, it was really cool.
It's one of those things, like, why am I going to say Kiss or AC/DC or Guns N' Roses or Metallica or pick whatever band? They've been there already. So if it's my first time, why not give the opportunity to, you know, my family, my nephew, and give him the same first time opportunity, you know, to share that moment? That's the way awesome. I feel.
That's that I love. And you get, again, giving back, it's all family first. Like, that's what it's all about in my mind, an opportunity. You know, we always say hashtag opportunity. I did want to ask you this, and I do want to be respectful of your time, man. I know you're busy, man.
No worries.
But I did want to ask you this, woman. You brought up the documentary. I did get a chance to watch it a couple of weeks ago, man. Talk to us about the making of that documentary. It was really cool. Kind of led us behind the curtain a little bit. It was very cool. Tell us about your philosophy, and tell everyone where they can find the documentary and all that good stuff.
So my philosophy behind it is, everyone's so used to just seeing wrestling matches, right? I like a little bit more of the entertainment aspect of it, which is why I do my promos the certain ways that I do them. And this is why I dress up in the suits, and you see me in backdrops like this, because no one else is doing it. Everyone's typically doing, and again, this is nothing against them. They're doing the promos in their car. Is fine, because they're still doing something, right? But at the same time, I want to take it a step above, right? So in my head, when I'm thinking of the documentary, I'm like, yo, what can I do to like let people in but not let people in, right? I was like, so why not get Rich Ruiz, which he was my camera guy there. I brought him along with me. And why not document this that I'm doing with my nephew? Again, I'm doing a ring entrance and an indie show. No one does that. I had to bring my nephew in from Florida. I had to get him to write the song for me,
you know, all this other stuff. And it was just a big snowball effect of everything that was going on. And it just happened to be,
it worked everything. It worked itself out beautifully. And I love it.
It's perfect, man. And the documentary is on YouTube, correct?
Oh, YouTube. Yeah. You can look it up under my name, Ray Calitri. And you'll see it there.
It's very awesome. And I did want to ask you this one, man, and everyone, please check it out. Like, just the work, like, Mr. Calitri puts into everything, man. It shows, like, even with this interview, I love it, man. You put in the work, man. I'm very appreciative. Like, even that ambiance, I'm like, man, I need to get down there. I need to check it out one day, man. Instead of
You do.
Cloudy, rainy New Jersey here. I did want to ask you this one because it's important to me. Obviously, like I always say, I'm greener than Kermit the Frog on a golf course. I want to get my start on commentary, and I've had a lot of great opportunities. Everyone's been very welcoming, which I know isn't always the case for everybody, man. So I'm very appreciative of that. As an in-ring performer, what feedback would you give to me if I was calling one of your matches? Like, I'm very punny, as you know. Like, you know, maybe I'm too punny at times. Like, what advice would you have to a commentary guy up and coming right now?
Okay, so rather it's commentary, managing, valets, referees, wrestlers, whatever the case is, the only advice that I ever give anyone is just be you. Because if I tell you to be a little bit more funny, it's going to come off as a shtick. If I tell you to be a little bit more aggressive, it's not going to come out right because you're not an aggressive person. You're more calm, right? Let's just say, give you an example. But when you're able to be you and just be you and bring it to a 10, that's all wrestling is. It's you to a 10. Because the minute you start trying to be someone else, try to force feed, you know, the punchlines and stuff like that, people aren't going to buy into it. But if Bob comes in and you're just being you the way you're being you right now, people will love it. You know, they'll buy into it and they'll love it. And 9 out of 10, it'll help you more and it'll open more doors for you if you're just being genuinely you. That's what I tell everyone. Yeah.
I love that, man. And you always be very genuine, man. And I super appreciate you making the time. Before we get out of here, we're all about the shameless promo here on the BCP. Tell everyone where they can follow you. If you got any merch, tell everyone where they can get the merch. We like to support everyone that's been on the show. If you have an 8x10, the next time we see you, make it out to the Bob Culture Podcast. We want to support everyone. We'll buy one from you, man. Tell everyone where they can get the merch, man. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you. So the merch right now is currently just with me because I'm too busy, and I know it's going to sound like an excuse. I haven't been able to set up my online stuff yet. I just have a million and one things going on. But on Instagram, Bobby Fresh, P-A-P-1 Fresh. Facebook, Ray Calitri. YouTube, Ray Calitri. On Twitter, this is the one that always gets me. It is Calitri Ray. Whoever has the Ray Calitri handle, please DM me. I'll buy it off of you. Please, just reach out to me. Just give me the name. That's all I want.
There you go. Good. That's a good deal. Either way, let's make this happen. But Ray, dude, I know you're a busy man. I know you got a plane to catch in a little bit. Soak up those rays. Enjoy it down there, man. I know you had a great trip. Stay safe and just continued success moving forward, my man. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you so much. I'll see you soon. All right. Oh, real quick, before we sign off, I just want to say to you, congratulations on your early success on your podcast. You are doing the thing. Killing it. Keep being you. I just told you that. Just keep being you. Keep doing it. And everything else is going to fall into place.
Yeah, and I appreciate it. And I'll say this, everyone. We had a good conversation last night. I'm like, bro, don't go out of your way, like, for my little podcast. And he's like, man, don't sell yourself short. And I very much appreciate that.
Never sell yourself short. Yes, sir.
That's a great way to end it, guys. And great message. Mr. Calitri, thank you for making the time. And guys, like we always say here on the BCP, everyone, stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We're out. Peace.